morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Wednesday, June 24th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Cascade Summer brings up with the resistance, and we talk with an activist who spent the morning up on a 30-foot tripod in front of the BLM offices in Salem.
The debate over renaming 39th Avenue Cesar Chavez Boulevard stumbles on.
And Leonard Peltier reportedly had a heart attack last Friday. His parole hearing comes up this July.
Portland area weather today, increasing clouds with a high near 76. Tonight, possible showers, cloudy and a low around 56, and then tomorrow about the same.
And first we go to news from around the region. Well, no one who is aware of it likes the Bureau of Land Management's plan to continue public forest liquidation, regardless of Whopper's fate or low market prices. Today, in Salem, activists dressed in colorful clothing erected a 30-foot tripod in front of the Salem District BLM offices to protest the auctioning of the timber rights of the Richard Creek sale. My guest today has just come down from a 30-foot tripod that was set up outside the BLM offices. Good morning, Ben. Thanks for talking with us. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning by phone and also for your action. Could you just tell our listeners what this is about?
Oh, well, basically, the WOPR, which is W-O-P-R, stands for Western Oregon Plan Revision, is the BLM's, it was enacted during the Bush administration. It's a BLM plan to basically increase logging by, some figures say 300%. It's sort of up in the air right now. The BLM hasn't approved or disapproved it, but it's going through and it's going ahead. And our tripod today, we have a tripod with a sign that says Whopper timber sale, expect resistance. And that's to show timber companies that we will be out there in the woods. We will be protecting Oregon's old growth forests and carbon reserves.
This has been going on. When you say resistance, you really mean it. I think we all do. This has been going on for a long time. Every time I read the words Cascade Summer, I think about Redwood Summer and Judy Barry and the history of this resistance. I like the word resistance. I think we should we should use it more, and we should live it more. Why is this so important to you?
Well, there's definitely been a lot of history in Cascadia of forest defense movements and resistance from the BLM. I don't know. It's really important to have, like, Oregon, we are blessed with a huge, beautiful, amazing, an intricate old-growth forest system, the Douglas fir bioregion, which we call Cascadia. And it's really important that we have what's left of it, that we keep it. And that's part of my identity, and I will defend that.
So this really, the Cascadia belongs to all of us, but only a few people have the courage and sense of responsibility to step up and form a cohesive resistance to what will go on were it not for efforts of people like Ben. Whenever you drive through the forest and you look at the trees and think how beautiful it is, it's because of this active resistance that has been fighting the timber companies for these many years. We have people like Ben to thank for that. So thank you so much, Ben, and keep it up. Cascade Summer 2009.
Oh, thank you very much.
Strange to say, the Midwest can see it coming. The chairman of the House Agriculture Committee says farmers can support a proposed Democratic climate bill. Today, Democratic Representative Colin Peterson of Minnesota urged support for a bill that would limit greenhouse emissions and global warming in general. but not without many concessions aimed at easing the impact of higher energy costs on farmers.
For a while there, it looked like Washington County's Lakeside Reclamation Landfill is going to get a $1.2 million break on its closure costs. The reeking dump has been a bone of contention for some time now. Although all because of a DEQ glitch, the public now will have the opportunity to weigh in on the project. DEQ staff had planned to change the closure cost calculations without public comment for Lakeside and 27 other Oregon landfills that accept non-municipal trash. The one-year provision would have allowed landfill owners to set aside less money to cover the cost of closing the landfills and maintaining the sites for 30 years. In Lakeside's case, that would have amounted to the $1.2 million in savings for the company.
Washington State has its own problems with dams. In the case of the Howard A. Hansen Dam on the Green River, water storage has been cut back because of leaks, potentially boosting the flood danger. The Army Corps of Engineers has yet to determine how much the dam's leaking, but rest assured the Corps is not even suggesting removing the dam and allowing the Green River to run free.
Well, we're still fighting the Battle of Bull Run, apparently. The latest idea is a filtration plant that would allow the city to use reservoir water longer in dry summer months and during storms stir up sediment. This has the advantage of avoiding tapping the Columbia River well fields. Another route would be just don't use so much water in summer, something people are loath to even consider. The nearly $400 million plant would comply with the federal rule to control microorganisms in the city's drinking water, thus getting the feds off our backs. At this point, the city is considering a system as a method of controlling Cryptosporidium and Giardia. That, of course, was required by a 2006 rule developed in connection with the Safe Drinking Water Act. Don't forget, the Safe Drinking Water Act is a collection of words that were cooked up by Frank Luntz during the Bush administration. And in fact, government really has very little interest in keeping your drinking water safe. Just look around. City officials have been battling the EPA for years now, arguing that the logging ban protects the Bull Run watershed, and the city's drinking water is tested largely free of the parasites. The city lost a federal lawsuit challenging the rule, but officials are still pursuing a variance.
Continuing with water issues, Washington's Department of Ecology has issued a final environmental report on proposals to improve water availability in the Yakima Valley. The plan includes adding some water storage and improving wildlife habitat and fish pastures, water conservation, and water marketing. There's never enough water in eastern Washington for agriculture, fish, and municipal uses during droughts, which tells us one thing: there are too many people trying to live in a dry place.
Jesus, how can it possibly be so difficult to rename a street? Supporters are still trying to get a Portland street named after the labor leader Cesar Chavez. Last night, the Portland City Council chamber was packed to the rafters and over the top into the room next door. Community testimony on the controversial proposal to rename 39th Avenue drew forth the best and the worst of us. Former Mayor Tom Potter testified in favor of the idea. Latinos, he said, have added beautiful hues to the color spectrum in Portland. He said the naming that will help make Portland a more welcoming and inclusive community. So why is it so hard to name a street Cesar Chavez Boulevard? Do we have to, like, go out and build a new street so we can name it that?
Nestle USA will apologize to a Gresham teen who was severely sick for 3 weeks before finals after eating the company's cookie dough. Nestle is implicated in a nationwide outbreak of E. coli linked to the gloppy food-like substance. FDA officials are combing Nestle's Virginia plant for clues in the outbreak. Scientists have pinpointed the company's refrigerated Toll House cookie dough, but they're puzzled how E. coli 0157H7, which is normally associated with cattle feces, could have gotten into the product. Even a Gresham teenager could figure that out. There was feces in the dough. But in the end, it's the kid's fault for eating the stuff in the first place.
Really? We have only ourselves to blame. We keep eating the cat hamburgers with the feces in them. We eat the... What is he doing eating that stuff anyway? Okay, this is Rich. A credit union is attempting to avoid becoming a slumlord. Is going to teach its hapless victims how to cope with foreclosure. Oh, you might want to ask, why not just stop foreclosing on people? Well, how like you. Anyway, Medford-based Rogue Federal Credit Union plans to take a free foreclosure prevention and assistance program statewide to help the very Oregonians it's foreclosing on. And the icing on the cake, the program is called Building Hope. More like putting plywood on the windows and waiting for the squatters and metal thieves to show up. Hope. The last clause in this series is consumer credit counseling. No, stab on the back as you go out the door.
The Daily Kos has this. Carrie Ann Cowan, Peltier's niece, Leonard Peltier's niece, reported last Friday at Lewisburg Prison that Leonard may have suffered a heart attack. Cowan said, quote, he had a hard time breathing, he was in his cell and had an ache in his chest. Peltier's supporters are asking listeners to call the prison and ask them to get Leonard to the hospital as soon as possible for a checkup. Let's hope he makes it to July 27th. That's when Peltier's parole hearing comes up. Leonard Peltier has been in prison for 34 years.
Now, moving on to national news. And, of course, the top story all week is health care and public versus private sources. Again, citing Daily Kos, this is day three. There's been a series of diaries focused on having an Oregon town hall meeting with the Oregon congressional delegation. This is to pressure Ron Wyden to take a stand on public versus private. Joining us today is independent journalist David Rosenfeld with the Lund Report to talk about the furthering debate on health care. Good morning, David, and thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Chris. Thanks. Yeah, there's more pressure on Senator Wyden that's coming out just today. There's going to be a rally that starts at the federal building at 11:45. That the building is at 1220 Southwest 3rd Avenue. And this is organized primarily by Jobs with Justice, and it's to pressure Wyden to consider a single-payer health care plan. And this, of course, you know, pressuring him to think about single payer is a way to also push the idea of a public option health plan, which would be a Medicare-like program that people could buy into that would be government-run. And it's something that Senator Wyden has resisted. And we know that he sits on the Senate Finance Committee, which is the main body that's deciding what will likely be the health care bill that should hopefully change a lot of things about the way our system works in this country. So, you know, he's in a powerful place, and people in Portland have an opportunity to really influence this debate nationally right now.
And lobbyists, of course, from the health insurance industry know where he lives. I want to ask you to talk a little bit about the question of taxing employer benefits.
Right. This is something that Senator Wyden has in his plan, and it's been opposed pretty strongly by labor unions and others who are afraid that they will lose their employer-sponsored health care coverage, which, you know, when you have a job, that's a very nice thing to have. A lot of people, though, have pointed to this system of employers paying for health insurance as one of the key things that's driving down our economy. It's really an anchor on many businesses that spend more on healthcare than they do their primary line of business. And what the proposal to tax these benefits would raise money for the government, for those employers that continue to have their plans, but it would also be an incentive for businesses to drop their employers' sponsored plans, and the idea would be that they would compensate workers in their wages for that money that they had previously spent on health insurance, and then individuals would go out and buy their own coverage. Now, this is only going to work if we have certain protections that don't allow insurers to reject us and to charge us fair premiums, hopefully based on income and not based on our health status or how old we are. So if we have those protections, then as individuals, I think we would feel safe in going out and buying a plan. And in that case, you know, that's kind of how it's designed to work, but there's a lot of pieces that have to come together.
Thank you so much for that. I've been speaking with independent journalist David Rosenfeld with the Lund Report. Thank you so much for that, David. We will continue this discussion the rest of the week. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
And don't forget, of course, there is a rally at Ron Wyden's office. Could you give listeners that information briefly just one more time, please?
It's the Federal Building at 1220 Southwest 3rd Avenue, and the march is going to go to Regents' office downtown as well. It starts at 11:45.
Thank you so much for that.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Wednesday, June 24th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Kate Welch. The interim KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Trillium Shannon, sitting in for Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints, part two of an interview on the politics, society, and culture of Iran.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.